Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
Paul Kuharsky, PaulKuharsky.com with us here on the program, taking your thoughts as well on the Titans. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Paul Kuharsky with us for the next hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans. PK, good morning. How are we doing? PK's on mute.
So when we want you to talk, don't unmute yourself when we don't want you to talk. He's still muted.
Okay.
Yeah, there he is.
Do you want me now?
We do.
Yes.
You so can't greet Ashley?
Well, you greeted Ashley and then on the air, and then now when we ask you to speak to us, you mute yourself. This is really good. I know you make me feel good about my boomerness, actually.
Hey, I didn't set up this this situation that you have going on.
You did not.
So you're thanking me for participating in
the situation. That is what this is.
We do thank you. There's no doubt about that. So, PK, let's just start with the Jeffrey Simmons stuff, from the fights on the field yesterday to the flags to the story that's generated most of the headlines today, and that is him going out and yelling at Buck Rising yesterday and doing it while he was on the air, and the whole situation around Jeff Simmons in the media right now. Your thoughts on everything that went down with Simmons yesterday and the concern level with his leadership that the Titans should have at this point?
Yeah, well, the fights are not a huge deal, though it's a tone setter under Brian Callahan that he wasn't ejected from practice, which feeds into this whole matter in terms of Jeff kind of running the show and being above it all. If it was some other random player on the front who instigated two fights, do we think he would have been, you know, right back in there for the second play to instigate a second fight, or for the third play to recover from two fights? I doubt it. I would hope not, but seems double standardish to me, and it's an enabling thing. And then, you know, to hear it described, first we believe Jeff went in and read Twitter, and then he came out and asked Austin Stanley, who happened to be standing to the side, tweeting Callahan or whoever was at the podium, and asked where Buck was. And Austin didn't realize what was going on and pointed. And he steamed over there to intimidate him and to jaw at him. I mean, there's not been an incident like that from a top-level Titan here ever. It's unprecedented behavior, just not something you can have from this guy that you keep anointing as a leader. Derrick Henry never would have done it. Kevin Byard never would have done it. Logan Ryan never would have done it. It's out of the realm of possibility for writing a training camp script.
So Austin Stanley just sold out his guy, huh? Jeez.
Yeah.
Is Austin trying to get rid of Buck or what?
He said, "I inadvertently directed him to Buck."
Do you think the Titans should discipline? You wrote something about the Titans disciplining Jeffrey Simmons.
No, I wrote that they need to have some tough love for him. I mean, there's something going on with Jeffrey Simmons. Seems pretty clear. Now you want that guy playing angry, but we've seen a million guys who are able to step across the line and play angry and step across the line and be normal. That's not normal behavior from him yesterday. I was told by somebody who witnessed it that he appeared deranged, and he was lucky that cameras weren't facing him from fans who were holding things to be autographed and the like. I don't understand how the organization permits that and doesn't. I don't know if it's discipline or if it's counsel him, but something needs to happen. I don't know if he shows up today to speak or to apologize. I don't know how sincere it is if he does it, because the things I've seen from him, he sourly waves off any attempts to have conversations, to calm situations that arise. He's not that guy. And that's part of why I think this overly anointed leadership is not the the best thing. And I'm looking elsewhere on defense for bigger leadership.
Do you think Brian Callahan should speak on this today? He's not currently scheduled to speak. Do you think he should speak on this today?
Well, I don't know which coordinator is stepping to the podium first at 8 o'clock, but it's going to be the first question for Denard Walker. And so, yeah, that's awkward for Denard Walker. Now, I don't know if Denard Walker answers
Wilson.
Wilson, sorry. I don't know if Denard Wilson answers it in some capacity or sidesteps it. Either way, awkward, ineffective, not answered. I think this Callahan every other day or every third day hasn't been as bad as I imagine. But here's a situation where you need the head coach to answer a difficult question. And, you know, ideally he would pop his head out at 9 o'clock and spend 5 minutes on this before his coordinators talk. I don't know if that's going to pan out or not. I don't know if we'll hear from Jeff or not. My expectation would be that the Titans will proceed as if nothing happened.
Well, Ryan.
I do have to say, Zach from Nashville on the text line, wondering if Glennon checked in on Trey Avery after the scuffle yesterday. Just got to throw that out there.
I think Glennon will be at the ready if statements are made about Simmons to interrupt them prematurely to ask about Trey Avery, who is getting a lot of time.
Yeah, well, today you can ask Denard Wilson about this, and then he can be in the middle of a good answer, and then we can get the Trey Avery question. Yeah, on brand, Glennon. What about, so do you think that inside the locker room, because this is where I do think sometimes media, you know, maybe gets a little, maybe there's a little bit of a misunderstanding, you know, in terms of like what we think of leadership, or a disconnect maybe between what we think of leadership and what matters and what they actually care about inside the locker room. Do you think that, I definitely agree that the organization, this is a bad look. They need to address it. The forward-facing aspect of this is not good. But inside the locker room, like, how do you think the other players privately react to something like this?
Well, they'll probably rally behind him, which is why it's an organizational problem. Hey, Tavondre, watch me. I wrote this in my column last night. Watch me. I'm going to barge out and go interrupt our flagship radio station in the middle of a show. My teammate, Roger McCreary, who I claim to respect, all of these teammates, I'm going to interrupt his interview, and I'm going to sling the P word at a radio host. Watch me. This is how we do it. Follow the leader here. And if the team rallies around that, that's a bad thing. That's not leadership you want people to rally around. And I think that message needs to be conveyed by Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon. And I'll say this, and I've noted this, and say what you will about John Robinson, and this goes back to Floyd Reese, the best general managers at their time, friendly with guys, yes, but friendly distant in a way that doesn't interfere with their ability to be harsh at a moment like this, or to cut guys when the time comes and all of that. And I was just thinking last night, and it's still early in the Rand Carthon regime, but Rand's pretty tight with a lot of these guys. He took a lap with J.C. Latham the other day, walked down to the offensive line area and came back. And yesterday, before this happened, I saw him standing around talking with Simmons. Just hanging out. He hangs out with these guys a lot in buddy-buddy fashion. Now, maybe that's new age GMing and all of that. Maybe it's something that makes it more difficult to be heavy-handed with a guy when the moment calls for it, because you are more pally than a traditional old-school GM. And I think that's something to ponder here as well.
PK, the other part about this that really mystifies me beyond just the obvious of the behavior part of it, which is obviously the problem here. The other part is, like, and I said this yesterday on Twitter, the press conference last week, he was asked about, you know, the media, what's bothering him in the media. Yesterday, he's yelling at Buck about coming and talk to him. Buck says, well, here, come sit down and talk. I don't want to talk to you. So to me, it's like either address what you're mad about or let it go. But he's doing neither one of those things right now, which is compounding to the problem of just the outburst that we saw yesterday.
Yeah, he's not going to let it go. And you raise a good point. In the span of 10 words, he said, I don't want to talk to you on social media. Talk to me. And then Buck says, yeah, let's talk. And they said, I don't want to talk to you. So, I mean, he's so emotionally wrapped up right there that he doesn't even know what he wants. Do you want to talk to me or do you not want to talk to me? But Buck's saying, I mean, he's in a no-win situation there. What do you want? You can't even explain it. You're incoherent with anger. What are you angry with us about? We asked you. Now, if I tweet something, he wants to get to the bottom of it. If he tweets something and we want to get to the bottom of it, somehow this is a huge sour thing for him. This is a circular double standard that makes no sense. Who in the organization can get to the bottom of this? Because your chief leader, this guy that you've anointed as the holy one, is not supposed to be the biggest distraction on your team. It's supposed to be a non-distraction.
Well, more with Paul Kuharsky coming up next. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Paul Kuharsky.
I gotta work.
Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday morning out live at Titans training camp. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Paul Kuharsky with us talking all things Tennessee Titans.
So Ramon Foster and Kayla are very upset with me from the other station because I listened to 10 minutes of them. I flipped over during a break of your show on my way in, and I don't think they have Buck Rising's back. For the 10 minutes I listened, I thought they were in Jeff Simmons' pocket, and I think that's shameful. I think it's shameful, and when I left the zone 2 years ago, a big thing over there was teamwork, teamwork, teamwork. Everybody's got to be united, and I hear them talk about it all the time. Oh, we're one big happy family. We're a team. Now, they're put at odds. Jeff Simmons, who we love like crazy, or Buck Rising, our teammate. Who are we with? Who are we with? Clear winner in the 10 minutes I heard. Jeff Simmons, no doubt, we are with the Titan. Screw our teammates. Given a choice between teams, we choose Titans. Screw our workmate. No choice whatsoever. Now, there's a lot of show I didn't hear. They had plenty of time to waffle and choose both sides. Somebody else could have heard a different 10 minutes where they backed Buck Rising. But in the 10 minutes I heard, Team Jeff Simmons wins. And that's part of what's become the de rigueur is all Titans over there. And Jeff, maybe he shouldn't have used the P word because there were children there. But even there, parents should condition their children at practice to be okay hearing that language. That's some of what they said. That's how far in the bag they were. Buck deserves better treatment from all of the media in this town. Every media person in this town should stand with Buck, that Buck should not be subject to what he was subject to in professional work environment yesterday. Period. Some things are cut and dried. They're not both side things. And this is not a both side thing. So I don't know if they were able to hear me there. They're not. They're back on air. But I'm happy to clip this and give this to them. And Ramon wanted to talk to me into my segment where I had to go back to work here. Now, I figured he would know how radio works because he's on the radio. But did it. So there's good radio for you. There's good radio for you.
Yeah. Paul, what did you think of Trey Avery yesterday?
Just do practice out here more often.
I know.
Practice brings out some good stuff, baby. Love
it. I'll play devil's advocate, though. I'll play devil's advocate on this. Okay. I will, even though we are now – this is like Ghostbusters, crossing the streams, you know. You have the competing stations right
next to you. And your college, you and your college buddies at a frat party crossing the stream.
So I didn't hear what you heard, okay? But I don't agree with you that it's not a both sides thing. Like, oh, Buck, yo, where did you get Buck?
Oh,
you
know, yeah, Jeff, no, you're going to give me the side where it's good for Jeff to come over and scream word while their flagship station is on the air? But give me that side.
No, but I'm playing devil's advocate.
Good people on both sides.
I'm playing devil's advocate, which is, first of all, like, I don't know how much you listen. I don't know exactly what was said. But I think it's okay to have some level of grace for Jeff Simmons and not complete. Like, he doesn't need to be cut. He's not.
Of course not.
You know, I mean.
An embarrassing moment.
I just would be very surprised if those guys are actually throwing Buck under the bus. Did they say anything bad about Buck?
They were too busy praising Jeff.
All right. Hey, man. It's one of the great lines from Pulp Fiction. My name is Paul. This is between y'all, except you're Paul. So, you know.
I mean, listen, I don't listen to my former station very much anymore for those reasons. And I certainly resist the tweeting. But I was so moved hearing this that I could not resist.
So give me the line. Give me the line that triggered you.
It was just the overall thing. Maybe that thing about, well, he should watch his language. But then somebody said, but, you know, that's a parenting thing. You really have to condition your kids if they're out there to be ready for that language, which is absolutely true.
That is true.
You're going to hear bad language if you're a training camp.
You just don't expect it from the dude who's about to sign your autograph.
To scream at a radio host that. Like, in the heat of practice, yes, you're going to hear language. Afterwards, when it's autograph signing time, that's not when you'd say earmuffs.
next to the stands over here. Not exactly when you think that should go down. I mean, look, I'm really concerned about Simmons. I am. And I don't know. I mean, this is not something that I think is going to translate to, like, the Titans going 4-13 because Jeffrey Simmons came and yelled at a radio host. But I do think when you are presented as the leader of your football team, and this is how you respond to criticism, or even, Joe, I think perceived criticism. Some of it's not even criticism.
Well, it's so mild.
It's just so mild. That makes me really concerned about his leadership, but also, like, the Titans, just as you said, PK, just throwing their faith into him without really having proof of concept at this point. Like, we all know Jeffrey Simmons is a really good player. But the last couple weeks have been pretty concerning to me on that point.
Also, you know, he's a pretty good player. We should be saying he's an excellent player. We should be saying he's a phenomenal player.
Yeah.
He's not been that level of player the last 2 years. Injuries have hampered him and slowed him down. Autry not being next to him slowed him down. Guess who's not on the team anymore?
Yep.
So he's got things to prove. You know, most players like that come into camp and say, I'm getting to work. I got to reprove myself. He did say that. But, I mean, the circular logic we talked about. Talk to me. I don't want to talk to you. And then, I am going to be supremely accountable. Hey, what was that tweet about? Oh, I'm not gonna talk about that.
Yeah.
It's circular nonsense logic. It's frustrating.
Well, the thing is, they need him to be a leader. It's not just I really want to be a leader this year. And now Derrick Henry is gone. You mentioned Kevin Byard. He is gone. There's a void. They don't have a lot of – I mean, the roster has turned over so much, and he has to be a great player, and he has to be a leader. This does not mean – this does not disqualify him from either thing.
No, and he's got leadership qualities in there. He gets people fired up to play. His anger is, an effective football tool when kept in check. He's a great community guy. None of this takes away from any of that in terms of what he's done out in the community. But, you know, there are other issues here that are significant.
Will you be disappointed if we don't hear from him today? Like, should he make it a point to be made available today?
He should, but I don't really think it'll serve him well. I mean, if you thought that if you thought my conversation with Arden Key was some kind of hostage thing, it won't come naturally to him in any way, shape, or form. I think it'd be very difficult for Jeff Simmons in one day to calm down and come out and be sincere. It's the right thing to do.
Don't you think it might be good for him?
I don't think PR and management have the sway to make it happen.
By the way, Jake says this is like the news anchor parking lot fight in Anchorman. I'm loving it.
6-5-7-3-7-1-0-2-5 is our phone number. We'll have more with PK coming up next. Get his thoughts on more of the Jeffrey Simmons stuff and Arden Key, his 6-game suspension as well. I'll take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode.
Special day.
Paul Karski with us here on the program. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. We will get to your phone calls here shortly, I promise.
How will you get to the phone calls while you're carefully balancing all the power cords, Robbie?
That's a good question.
Don't be too loud when you talk, man. Because right now my laptop's charging. This is working. Don't move.
Stanley, they call him.
Just really getting after it this morning.
Joe's crossing streams. Robbie's three-handed.
We've broken through the fourth wall.
I'm making friends.
Yeah.
Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line. Welcome in Adam in Portland, who wants to weigh in on Jeffrey Simmons. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, you know what this reminds me of, and I don't know if you guys mentioned already, but Javon Kinlaw from the 49ers did something similar to that a couple of years ago. And what's interesting, because our team's not necessarily, like, oozing with leadership right now. If it's not Jeffrey Simmons, then who? But, like, Jeff is closer to Javon Kinlaw than he is Aaron Donald right now. If we're having the debate, like, where is he in the pecking order, like, to me, he's somebody who's, like, significantly underperformed from where he should be. He's a great player. I love him. Coming out of Mississippi, I'm a Mississippi boy too. But from what he was, like, you come in, we have concerns about character issues. He's put all those to bed, and then something like this comes up. If you're a Chicago Bears interior lineman, you have to be loving that, like, he could break down from a radio host that easily. Like, you are so easily broken down by Buck. Like, I don't know, man. It concerns me. As a Titans fan, I'm sitting here going, that's insane that he let Buck get under his skin like that. I don't even know what it was, but, like, you let Buck break you down with something that easily, it's very concerning.
He said he needs to reel it in, and he added
in. That's wild that broke him down.
Right. Reel it TF in.
No, you raise a good point. And in terms of rankings of interior defensive linemen, I mean, if you go look at PFF's rankings, Jeff Simmons is, you know, in the low teens for overall impact last year and the year before. Now, PFF is not the be-all and do-all, but there's some meaning in there. Now, he's been hurt the last 2 years. He said he doesn't ascribe that to luck. But, you know, he'll rise on that list if he plays a full healthy season and if Tavondre Sweat is good next to him. But is he a top three defensive tackle in the league right now at his best? He's not. Do the Titans act like he is? Constant.
I will say, I saw
Jeff.
Well, I mean, he's one of their best players.
I saw a tweet.
He's one of their best
football players. That's an interesting conversation. Do you treat one of your best football players as if he's, pending Pro Bowler?
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting because here they do. And I don't know if that's the right approach.
Well, he's paid to be that guy too, right?
I saw a tweet from the Sick Podcast, talking Titans, at Sick Pod Titans, photoshopping Jeffrey Simmons' face on Bobby Boucher from Waterboy and runs after the quarterback talking about his mom and photoshopped Buck's face on there. It's pretty good stuff.
Oh, very nice.
I think Jeff is probably stunned by the reaction to this. I don't think there's any way he got off social media last night. And this is probably this is definitely the most heat he's taken. I feel like there's minimally a 50-50 split, maybe more against him than 50-50, which has got to be an absolute shock to his system because he has been universally loved.
You're talking about fans. You think fans? Yes. Yeah.
Well, based on what I wrote, I wrote a column last night that was pretty well received about – you know, Callahan or Rand need to have a conversation with him. And if they can't, if they seen Valentine hearts in their eyes because of what he can do as a football player. Amy needs to talk to the coach or the GM about talking to the player. And I got a lot of positive feedback on that.
So here's a
My lead was, Jeff Simmons, don't read this. Click out of this story. That. Don't. It's not good.
So here's an interesting point on that, too. Let's say all this stuff happened, but he was that guy. He's coming off an all-pro season, right?
Yeah.
Does that change the reaction a little bit? Probably does, right? To some extent. It's just like the, you know, people love when Vrabel's a jerk when he's winning, and then all of a sudden he's a jerk when he's not.
Well, the point is, he isn't coming off of that, but he acts like he is.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Jason in Hendersonville. Jason, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning. PK, agree with you. You made so many great points. First off, there needs to be a healthy
Cut off the call. Cut the call. Great call. Just kidding. Go ahead.
No, there needs to be a healthy fear between ownership and the GM and the, you know, the players that keeps everybody in line. For me, that tells me that Rand Carthon's personality, he just likes to be seen. He should be up there doing, and I'm not saying he's not going to do his job. But he's going to have to cut players. They all are. But secondly, Simmons, he can't allow. I mean, there needed to be some sort of meeting, and I'm sure maybe there was, saying, look, you're going to hear negative feedback from radio personalities. That's their job. They're in the business of opinions. And you can't allow that to affect you, especially going up and cursing out someone that's live on the radio. And I didn't hear what the other station said, but, I mean, they should have their partners back, because based off what I've read and what he said, he didn't say anything egregious other than, hey, you shouldn't have a fight in a practice where punches are being thrown. If I was a coach, it would end right there, and there would be people sent to the locker room for stuff. Because, I mean, if someone connects with one of those punches, you could have a broken jaw. Yep. And then now you're down a player. So
a broken hand is more likely than a broken jaw, by the way.
Yeah. For all the young people who are listening, my grandfather, who served in the Korean War and I served in the Iraqi War, he raised me. I mean, he raised me on one-liners, and he said a one-liner to me that's been with me my entire life. And that's any person out there or group of people can only teach you one of two things in life. That's how to do it and how not to do it. And I hope that they saw or heard what Jeffrey Simmons said and did and learned from that how not to do something. So he just needs to get – thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank
Appreciate
you both
it.
For yep. your service, yep. obviously.
No, that's good stuff. Good stuff from you. I mean, I'm interested to see how he responds. Is this the last issue? Is there more that happens this year where it's criticism and he's either flying off the handle on Twitter? I mean, hopefully he's not yelling at anybody else out in public doing their job
lot of people have suggested he get off social media. I think that's extreme. I mean, that's exceptionally difficult.
Yeah.
I couldn't get off social media.
Right.
Now, my job
Don't you ever take breaks from it?
My job is more reliant on it. I really don't, and I need to as well. But that's why going cold turkey on social media, I think, is as hard as quitting smoking.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. I disagree. I can do it for like a few days, and it's heavenly. And then you sort of like, okay, like because you use it as a news feed, right? That's
yes.
the thing, too. Is like,
it's a news feed.
But like, if you can get away, I think it's worth trying, man, to any extent. And again, it's just like, I mean, this is extreme, though. We're talking about practice ends, go
you
inside immediately, and then run right out.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I mean, you gotta rein it in, man.
You take the Deion Lewis approach where you just block everybody. Just block everybody on Twitter, and you don't have to ever have seen it.
Well, he blocked Stilley and Mike Herndon.
He did.
Over Jamal Adams.
He did.
Over Jamal Adams. Now, he thinks that's – there's another framework thing. He thinks that's being a great teammate, defending Jamal Adams before he's here. Jamal Adams, the numbers of games he missed, factual. And all of the things that were said about Jamal Adams have come to fruition in 7 days based on the way he's deployed.
Yeah.
So it was all correct.
So Mark from Ashton City had a long text here trying to explain what a station that should not be named said about this. And the point being that he actually had an interview, Jeff did, saying that he was upset that Adams and then Tavondre Sweat also have been trashed before they've got on the field and proved what they can be. Now, there's a huge difference.
Well,
there,
wow,
right?
He explained something to someone. Oh, happy day.
Well, right, but apparently that was part of the discussion over there.
Listen, I said specifically what I heard. I heard 10 minutes Which is what a lot of people hear of this show. They're in their car for 10 minutes. They're out of their car for 10 minutes. So during that 10 minutes, I heard what I heard. I told you what I heard. I thought it was shameful in terms of support for a colleague. That's what I said.
Should we get Buck on the air?
Maybe we should.
I want to hear what he thinks.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Kenston. Kenston, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. I had to call in, man, because like I said, I agree with everything PK has said, even Jared yesterday. I've always been questionable,
don't lump him,
really, of Jeff for his on-field performance, like Paul has said. But this yesterday kind of really rubbed me the wrong way. Jeff kind of gives off, like, sensitive. He's soft. Like, he loves to talk junk to people on the field but seem to can't take it. I don't know if it's because maybe when he was growing up, he was the biggest, baddest dude, and people were scared to say something to him growing up, and now he can't take it. But my question is, he's been pegged by a guy as a leader, not only for the team, but for Tavondre Sweat. And an example that he set yesterday was horrible, because if Tavondre would have done that, people would have talked about Tavondre's maturity issue. So I don't like that. He's supposed to be a leader. He's a guy that numerous conversations Rand and Brian have said is he and Coburn are supposed to be guys that Tavondre could look up to. But he sets that example. And then I agree with you also, Paul, with the double standard, because if somebody goes out there and throws a punch today, are they not going to kick him out? And if you do, or if you don't, then I think that can create a locker room issue. So eager to hear what you guys have to say about that if you haven't discussed it already. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Kenston. Appreciate it.
I think I wish we had asked Brian Callahan, and I had it on a list at a certain point, and I never got to it before this, what his philosophy on fighting was during camp. Would have been good to have had that on the record beforehand. But yesterday makes it look like Jeffrey Simmons is in control, right? It's not a good look for Callahan. And that's very interesting. Where does fighting go from here? Is there a big conversation with him like, hey, tone it down, I don't want to see it again, are there going to be consequences? Or is what's left for Jeffrey Simmons like, hey, I can fight these guys when I want
Probably the best case scenario from the Callahan perspective is that he's the nice guy who does it and then he kicks him out, right? Because it's a double standard if it's anybody else.
Right. Exactly.
Well, yeah, right. If somebody else throws a punch today, if Shane Ray throws a punch today and gets thrown out, that's a big story.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 615-737-1025. I do want to get PK's thoughts on the Arden Key situation coming up next as well. We'll do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Paul Kuharski, Nick Keys are here with you on this Wednesday morning. Paul Kuharski brought to you by A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa. We got a $50 gift card to A Moment's Peace to give away. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a $50 gift card to A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa. PK, you reported yesterday that Arden Key will be suspended 6 games, performance-enhancing drugs. You know, we saw Danigo Autry get popped for that the other day in Houston. This is already a position outside of Harold Landry that the Titans are pretty thin on, and now you can say razor thin at edge rusher. How big a deal is the Arden Key suspension for this team in your mind?
Who would have thought the Arden Key story would be the B story yesterday?
Yeah.
And that's a pretty decent scoop.
Is that why you're mad at Jeff? Are you mad at Jeff because of that?
Yeah, that's why I'm mad at Jeff. I mean, it's significant. I mean, here's a guy that we're all thinking is insufficient for the position but counted on. And now he's missing for 6 games. And those 6 games feature some premier quarterbacks. You know, I don't know what Caleb Williams is going to be, but then you've got Aaron Rodgers
Jordan Love
and Josh Allen. So it's significant. I imagine they knew it was coming when they signed Shane Ray. And Shane Ray, look, I don't think Shane Ray is going to be fantastic or anything, but Shane Ray has shown up in the 2 practices he's been around for so far. So that's encouraging. Again, you look at the free agent list of Carl Lawson. I don't think Ngakoue is a possibility here. I'm curious about Tyus Bowser, who was hurt last year. Joe, you mentioned, you know, Detroit lost somebody. These guys aren't going to be out there forever. Sooner rather than later is probably significant. I know Rand said, you know, we want to see the young guys and you know, young guys emerge all over the league. Maybe ours will, and we want to give them that opportunity. But I think it's a little dangerous to count on Caleb Murphy or Thomas Rush or Khalil Duke. And so they're in trouble on the edge. It's disappointing that Arden did what he did. Don't know if a run will hear from him, but and I'm not sympathetic to the rule breaking, but they're telling him, you got to do better on the edge. You got to do better on the edge. And he's a slight guy for being able to hold the edge. And I could see the mentality thinking, I got to find a way to be better on the edge and pushing the envelope to try to get better on the edge. You just can't do something that you're going to get caught doing,
yep.
Right?
Yep, no doubt.
So you're making excuses for steroids now.
Okay. I'm not. I would like to see him raise his hand and say that. I would like to see him raise his hand and say that instead of coming up with, I ate bad meat in Mexico. Or, you know, the pharmacy was, hey, see what Danico Autry said, and that's me. I'd like to see him say, I was trying to get every edge because I'm not good enough, they keep telling me, to do the job they're assigning me. And so I went to try to get better.
Did you believe what Taylor Lewan said when his thing went down?
I had mixed feelings about it, like I think most people did.
I thought the biggest story of Arden Key this week would be the hostage video with PK. Then he quickly overcame that.
There was nothing hostagey about the way he spoke.
I am Arden Key. Paul Kuharsky is the best.
Have you ever read paulkuharsky.com? It's a wonderful website.
He may not be feeling as good about me any
longer.
But
it's good that you got that nice video with him, yes. So you could put that in the screenshot of the story. I'm sure he appreciated that.
That probably wasn't a great photo choice in hindsight.
Meanwhile, Buck just walked by. He seems to be okay with everybody.
Yeah, seems to be fully intact.
He's not throwing punches over there.
Well, if Jeff was over there, there'd be confetti and rainbows and ice cream.
BK, what did you make of Brian Callahan yesterday in the press conference saying that the negative things tend to get magnified around here?
I hope it was a moment of frustration on a very difficult day between the fights. And the key news, and maybe anticipated what was coming with Simmons. I don't know. I mean, a weekend to a very rosy honeymoon and off season. I don't know what exactly he feels hasn't been emphasized. Personally, in the last week, I've written two really glowing pieces about culture change here. With his resiliency and relentlessness and guys feeling significantly less stressed with his presence, positive changes from Vrabel, or what I perceive as positive changes from Vrabel. You're not going to have a better week at paulkuharsky.com than that. Interceptions are newsworthy events compared to, completions in the flat.
So it's an interesting thing. First of all, I have no idea. Maybe he may be referring to one thing or one person. Who knows? But
yeah.
But one thing about a new coach coming into a situation, obviously if you're that coach, you're like, well, it's a clean slate. We're starting. It's all new. And he's kind of said that too yesterday, like, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're doing the work. And so I get that mindset. But you also have to understand, when you get a coaching job in this league, you're probably coming into a place where it was crappy before you, right?
Right.
So the fans have been a part of the whole process. This is just a continuation for them, So I think sometimes that there's a disconnect there.
Also, there's always the Philly New York test.
Well,
like, hey man, if you think this is something, and you were in Cincinnati.
Well, I was going to say, Cincinnati
to here, and you think it's negative. I'd like to transport anybody that says that for a day to go listen to Philly sports talk and be part of a press conference there.
Is the national media too soft, or are they too hard? Too soft? Too mean? Which one is it? It seems like it changes on a daily basis. I can't figure it out.
I know. I mean,
it ain't me.
You and Stilly say it's soft. And now I'm hearing that it's too mean.
It's too mean.
By the way.
I mean, how's it compared to Detroit?
This is what I've said. I've said this many times. You and I have had this conversation. It's just that when you have a bigger
meet a group of people, there are then you. It's just like anything else. Like if you have a bigger high school, you're going to have five good athletes. Right. So if you have a tiny high school, you have one. So in
there's
a bigger
more of
press
you.
Score,
there's more of me. Yeah, there's more
there's
Robbie.
Just more people. Yeah, like there's more. But it, like it's not like this contentious scream. It's not no different. You go to a Lions press conference. Now, granted, when they go 0-16, it's different. But like, it's just more people. It's not any different. It's the typical questions you'd expect, right?
Philly is different.
Yeah, okay.
And New York is different.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you get to that, I think there's a I think a lot of people feel like they have to stand out in some way too, right? Isn't that part of it? Like I have to be more outrageous or whatever or attacking to stand out in that market. I'm just assuming.
Yeah.
A little bit, but I think also when things are bad, the demand for answers is just heartier.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't know.
That's the nature of the geography.
Yep. PK? Yeah,
there are a lot of jerks on the East Coast.
PK with us an hour earlier today. If you missed any of the conversation, go back and check it out. Robbie and Rex Road, wherever you get your podcast. PK, thank you, sir. Appreciate
thank you.
It.
I will be back to collect these things.
That
shortly.
Sounds good. Presently. We will are hoping to have the Denard Wilson press conference coming up here in just a few minutes. So we'll keep you updated on that. Continue to take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Sounds take on Gwinnett. Pregame at 5:50, first pitch at 6:05, with coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Caudill Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.